This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Of the Night Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. We have some updates on the transfer portal. A couple offers have actually been made. We're going to update you guys on and update you on some guys we've previously spoken about and some new names to keep an eye on. But first, the presenting sponsor of the Night Report podcast is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans. Are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered, from t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories. Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. They got a lot of stuff, good stuff on there. I really like the flying NJ Rutgers logo, that one from the 80s and 90s. It's near and dear to me. Yeah, you don't see it on many places, so definitely something to pick up before, you know, the spring game. Get some new gear. It's supposed to be, you know, really nice, at least from you know, what it normally is. But oh yeah,
you definitely
do. They so the there's if you scroll down a little bit further, there's a Rutgers hoodie. You see that one, the game day hoodie. It's only $10, but unfortunately, they only have an extra small, I think. Yeah. So I wanted to get that for Chet, but Chet's my dog.
Let's see if we could put a special order in using promo code Rutgers Rivals. You can get 10% off.
10% off your purchase. Definitely use that if you're going to shop there. Can't recommend them highly enough. We've also got another new sponsor. We've got a great new sponsor. It's called The Cut App. I love betting, especially around the NCAA tournament, and betting on really anything. Games to, you know, who's going to win the next round of Mario Kart, who's fastest running, you know, race down the street. Cut allows you to do that. It's a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. It has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All the payments are made through the app, so you don't need Venmo or anything like that. If you use the code BELEAVERUTGERS, that's BLEAV Rutgers, you get a 10% welcome bonus. Don't forget to use that code when you sign up. Put your money where your mouth is. All right, let's talk these offers that Rutgers has sent out. So Rutgers has, we've confirmed, sent out offers to at least two prospects in the transfer portal and has some serious interest in another and might be even in the top group for a very highly rated guy. So let's talk about the two guys we have confirmed that Rutgers has offered. They're both names we have previously discussed, so light pat on the back for us here. The first is Jordan Durkak. So you should know him. He is a guard out of Merrimack. I think he's listed at 6'5", 200. He's from Colonia. He's got a younger brother named Aiden Durkak, and he's also got a younger sister who's the all-time leading scorer in school history. It's a basketball family there. The younger siblings are trained by Geo Baker in his like one-on-one skill development. Mm-hmm. So what do you hear about Jordan Durkak and kind of, you know, we already talked about him as a player, but it sounds like the staff is really into him.
Yeah. So we're hearing from a pretty good source that they offered him. What that offer entails, we don't really know because obviously like it could be money, it could be an actual scholarship offer, it could be a bunch of different things. But it sounds like the staff is very interested in him. It makes sense because he is a local kid. It makes sense because he is a very solid player, I should say. NEC Player of the Year. I think he's actually a pretty good defender too, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to remember his stats and all that, but yeah, I mean he had a great year there. He averaged 17 from the as a guard. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 46% from the field. His 3-point percentage isn't the greatest. It's 27.5, but he can hit him. Yeah, I know Merrimack's not the level of the Big Ten, but he's still pretty good at that level, and he's honestly the best at that level technically because he won their conference player of the year. He's had games where he's played against like Big East competition this year. I forget, there's a bunch of different teams that they played that were mid to high majors.
They played the following high majors. So they played Georgetown this year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Georgetown's not great, but they're still a Big East team. They lost by 2 at Georgetown. He scored 22 points on 18 of 14 shooting and 6 of 11 from the line, which obviously mm-hmm. isn't great. But he had an additional 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals in that game. They played at Florida, but they lost by 20. He had 14 points on 5 of 11 shooting, 4 of 6 from the line, 0 for 3 from 3-point range. Mm-hmm. He also had an additional 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal in that game. They played Cincinnati on the road, where they lost 65-49, but he had 18 points on 6 of 10 shooting, 3 of 4 from deep, 3 of 4 from the line, 1 rebound, 2 assists, and a steal. Those were the high majors they played this year. He averaged on the season, like you said, 17 points a game, 6 rebounds a game, 4 assists a game. Not the best shooter. He shot 46.6% from the field, 27.5% from 3 on 3.8 attempts a game. 2.1 steals a game, which is obviously pretty nice. He did shoot almost 12 shots a game, which obviously he won't be doing at Rutgers. The three-point shooting really worries me because he wasn't a great three-point shooter as a freshman either at 22%. And that's something that we really need to prioritize. So I'm a little suspicious on this offer, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I am a little bit too. Just because his style of play, I mean, it's fast-paced. It's a lot of driving to the rim. I'm looking now, 65% of his attempts are at the rim. Mm-hmm. 12% are from three. So it's not like the greatest in the world, those numbers, especially when you're struggling from three. That being said, he's a good passer. He kind of looks weird off the dribble when he shoots. It looks like he's almost uncomfortable, and maybe that's playing a factor in his shooting. Maybe if you just set him up and just let him spot up in the corner, could work, I guess. But I'm a little indifferent on this one. He's a good player. He can score buckets, so I mean that's the nice part. But almost all his stuff is like at the rim, which is fine. I mean, they didn't have anyone that can hit at the rim this year, so I know I keep saying it every pod, but it was so bad this year. People don't realize how bad that fucking one was. They need to. They purged the roster. There's a reason they did. Yeah. it's not a bad offer. It's just it's interesting. And I mean, if Rutgers is interested, they know their due diligence. Like former Rutgers assistant Tom Barrett is at Sacred Heart. Saw him twice this year. Saw him last year too when he was there. So I'm sure like Pikel has been in contact with some of the guys he knows at that level, saying like, hey, can this kid do it at this level? Can he not? And I'm sure if they're offering, they got to be somewhat confident. So. It's just a weird offer for me. I'm not super sold.
Yeah. Yes, we'll see. He had a really high usage rate too. He had a usage rate of almost 32% this mm-hmm. year, at Merrimack. So he's just a guy who had the ball in his hands a lot, took a lot of shots, and he didn't have a particularly high offensive rating. He was slightly below, average in terms of Bart Torvik's metrics. He was at a 97.6 and 100 is average. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is one I'm, you know, not to, you know, crap on the kid at all, but this is one that I think we could do a little bit better, but we shall see.
Yeah. And that's kind of where you segue into the next guy.
Yeah, so the other offer that we've confirmed that Rutgers has made is to Zach Martini. He is a guy we previously mentioned. He is a 6'7 forward from Princeton. They list him as a wing guard, but they didn't really – they played small ball at Princeton. He lined up at center at times. Against Rutgers, he played a small ball five. That's not really – obviously, you don't want him defending fives, but the way Princeton played, they could get away with it. This is a guy that more so fits what I think Rutgers needs. This is a guy who's got NCAA experience, NCAA tournament experience, I should say. You know, he's played in a very, efficient system at Princeton. He knows how to move the ball. He knows how to move with and without the ball. Mm-hmm. He's a really good shooter. He shot almost 5.5 threes a game, and he hit 38.5%. He's an 83% free throw shooter. He averaged 3 rebounds a game, 1 assist a game, and 0.5 steal a game, 8.4 points per game. But this is also a guy who, for the most part of his career, he was coming off the bench. This is the first year he was a full-time starter. And so I don't think he'll be the type that necessarily needs that starter role. It seems like he kind of is more of, a team-first guy. Not that, Durkak wasn't, but if you, come off the bench for 2 or 3 years at Princeton the entire time, your first year, didn't happen because of COVID. Yeah. That to me says he's okay, possibly not starting and, being a role player, which is what we would need. But what do you think about Zach Martini as a player?
I think he's a solid player. Princeton guy. So it's hard to say how they're going to translate to that next level. Some of them work out, some of them don't. I know personally, I've been told that don't trust Ivy League guys. That's from a high major assistant that I talked to. No, it's not Rutgers before you start speculating. But yeah, they basically told me it's just not worth it. It's not worth the risk. They could sometimes work out. Don't get me wrong, but most of the time, they don't. So I don't think he's a bad player. I think the Gil St. Bernard's connection is interesting because Pykele's son did play there. Pykele's obviously close with the staff there. Paul Mulcahy came from there. There's a lot of connections in that aspect. So again, he's going to do his due diligence, Pykele and the staff in general. And if they think he's a fit, they'll take him. But the fact that they offered him, I'm assuming they probably think he's a decent fit. Is he going to start at Rutgers? He could, but I think he'd probably be a rotational piece for the most part. I'm intrigued. I'm indifferent on this one. I don't know if he's great fitting next to this lineup, but I really like the kid, D'Amico, still. That's my go-to four.
Yeah, I like D'Amico too. This is what really intrigues me about Zach Martini. If you look at his shooting stats from where on the court he shot, it's either at the rim. He took 29 of his 35 shots inside the arc were at the rim. All his other shots were beyond the arc. This is a guy who is an efficient shooter. He understands mathematically where you should be shooting the ball from, where you shouldn't. Mm-hmm. He only took 6 mid-range shots all season.
Thank God.
And he's taken 7 shots a game, playing 30 minutes a game.
Perfect fit.
That's what you need. That's the kind of numbers that you need to put up in order to be an efficient shooter and shoot that. So
he's Jack Golke, is what you're telling me.
Not quite Jack Golke. That's probably the most ridiculous shot chart I've ever seen. That's the guy from, if you don't know, the guy from Oakland who shot 23s last night. He has 350 some shots on the season. Only something 10 of them were inside the 3-point arc, or were 2-point shots, I should say. So just kind of wild.
It's crazy to me how fans somehow managed to spin that into a Rutgers issue now, because Kentucky had all those stars and they didn't work out as freshmen. And now everyone's well, Rutgers is going to do the same thing and it's not going to work. And it's oh my God, stop. Pykele knows he needs to get some veterans, obviously. Yep. It's clear as day. So just, can we stop with all this panic nonsense? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't really either, but
all offseason, man. All offseason.
Let's move on to the final guy we've confirmed Rutgers has serious interest in. We can't say whether or not we can't confirm that he has an offer or not, but I would assume he does. This is Amari Williams of Drexel, the big. He's listed at 6'10", 265. He's originally from Nottingham, England. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who's averaged 12.2 points per game this season. 7.8 rebounds a game this season, 2 assists a game, shot 52% from the field, 65% from the line. He averaged almost 2 blocks a game. This is one of the better bigs that has announced that they're entering the portal. And he'd be a big pickup. What are you hearing about Amari Williams, and kind of what do you think of him as a player?
So Rutgers is one of the top schools. I got to give credit where it's due. Troy Donovan was the first one to report this, but I went out and confirmed it on my own. So Rutgers is one of the top schools pursuing him. Now, mind you, they have, I don't know, like 40 schools that are pursuing him. Like, he's the three-time defending defensive player of the year for the CAA. All CAA first team this past season. So, I mean, they're going to pursue him. They're going to try to get him on campus. I don't know if it's going to work out or not, but they're aiming high. That's like the home run hit right there.
Yep.
So,
yeah, you need a guy with that kind of defensive presence. He's not the same level of defender as Cliff, but he is a comparable replacement. I think of all the bigs we've heard associated with him, with Rutgers this year, he's probably the best defensive big that we've kind of seemingly focused on. Mm-hmm. He's also got a pretty well-rounded offensive game. He's the kind of guy you don't really want shooting from outside the circle, I would say.
Cylinder.
Outside the cylinder, sorry. He shot almost 70% at the rim this year, but all other twos, he shot 27%. So you just ideally don't want, you want him to basically play the same way Cliff did. You know, ideally, you know, he's catching lobs, he's rim running, he's crashing the boards, but you don't really want him stepping out and taking 12 footers because he's not very good at it.
No, not at all. But he's a great player, man. Like, he would fit up and down on this team. I just keep watching his tape. Great shot blocker, like you said, athletic center, easily running up and down the court. He's strong too. He's really strong for a big man. Mm-hmm. I don't know why ESPN lists him as a forward. That doesn't make sense to me personally, but they do that with a lot of guys. Like Josh Cohen, they did it with too. Like, so I would just ignore ESPN completely. I'm not saying like ignore the stats, but like ignore the positions, because this guy is 100% a center. Again, though, 70% at the rim, so he doesn't have, like you said, nothing really past that half cylinder mark. But he does have some post moves that I like. He's got a nice little soft touch too. I think he could be a really good pick.
He'd be a huge pickup. I would love to get him. And Rutgers is apparently in his top group of schools right now, so you'd have to think Rutgers has extended an offer to him as well. And a lot of these guys, like, the offer is inferred. Like, if you're talking to a guy, talking about bringing him on campus, like, you have an offer. It might not have been said, you know, in those exact terms, but there's no way the school is recruiting a player that high level seriously if they're not also going to offer the guy.
Mm-hmm. Other schools, by the way, Penn State, Texas, Florida, Purdue. I know Penn State is trying to get him on campus this weekend. I don't think they're going to, personally, but being a Pennsylvania guy playing at Drexel, it makes sense that they're pursuing.
Yep. Let's do some updates on former 5-stars in the state of New Jersey. First being Aaron Bradshaw.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Discussed. Sounds like that one probably isn't going to happen based on what you were told. What were you told about Aaron Bradshaw?
Well, number one, I wanted to talk about his AAU coach on Instagram today, yesterday, last night. Screenshotting the box score of Oakland beating Kentucky, and what was the quote? Where was the actual wording of that? It was something very funny. I had it pulled up a second ago. It was, here we go. His AAU coach posted this screenshot, said, "Why did Kentucky lose? ? So happy for Bradshaw to get the hell out of there." AKA, yep. He's portal bound, baby. And he also circled the number of minutes Bradshaw got, and it was 4, and said, "Here."
Yeah, that's wild. The number two player in the country from last year played 2 minutes, or 4 minutes, I'm sorry, in a first round NCAA tournament game.
Kind of impressive too, the fact that he played 4 minutes, had 3 rebounds, and 3 points.
Yeah,
it's pretty good little stat line for that 4 minutes.
It's not a bad day.
That per 40 or whatever. Yeah, I mean, hey, it's not bad, but. It doesn't sound likely that he's going to end up at Rutgers. I think he's going to go bag chasing from what I've been told, which is fine. Now, when I say that, people are like, "Who said we have money?" They do have money, but they're not going to just spend it on a guy who really hasn't developed too much. He is the number 2 overall player in this class, and I'd still take him personally. But Rutgers needs someone that's more experienced in that and more like developed, I should say. That's where Yaxel
Landborg. Yep.
That's where he makes sense. That's where Amari Williams makes sense. That's where even like the JUCO kid, who we didn't mention on this pod yet, would have made sense. I did mention on the board though, so I don't know if you want to talk about that one or not.
Sure, we can give an update on that. There was the mystery JUCO that sounded like Rutgers was doing really well with. Where does things stand with that guy?
So again, I'll preface this by saying Rutgers does have money. They're just not going to spend it stupidly. So basically, it sounds like they had him pretty much locked in. They liked him a lot. He's a really good player. He's the number one JUCO player. And I think he's actually a really good offensive skill set and a good rebounder, too, for a JUCO guy, for a big man in general. But it sounds like he's going to go elsewhere. Sounds like people in his corner are trying to bag chase a little bit, where it's like, we had a deal, but it's like, hold on, wait a second. Let's give it some time. Let's see if we can like go sneak a bigger bag from someone else or something. So it doesn't sound like that's going to happen anymore, which is fine. And that's where Amari Williams comes in. So who knows? Maybe Yaxel or Yandel. Yeah, I can't remember. It's Yaxel, right?
It's Yaxel Lendeborg. It's a very strange LFN. Name.
Yeah.
It almost seems like one of those names that would just – it was like a creative player in like NCAA football. They would just like mash up all these different starting and ending of names to make something that doesn't make any sense. That's kind of what reminds me of.
Yeah. Now he plays today at 145. So if you want to go get 345, I'm wrong. Yeah. Wait, no, he's on UAB, isn't he?
He's on UAB. Yeah. What I saw, he's playing at 345. Am I wrong?
I think ESPN says 145 on TNT.
Okay.
Kind of watch him because he could be an interesting target, and also kind of root against him because you kind of want him to lose so he can get in the portal already. So it's like, or you could go see the game right now for $3. Holy shit. Where the hell is this team at?
It's in Spokane, Washington. Yeah.
Yeah. Geez, no crowd there though. $3. I mean, I would probably root against his team. I think he's going to be the one to watch, but the JUCO probably not going to happen anymore. Which is fine.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, but We're not saying it's a definitive no, and that's also why we haven't listed his name yet, because that situation is still a little fluid.
Yeah.
Let's talk about one other former five-star in the state of New Jersey, who I'm sure people are going to ask about, Mackenzie Mbako, who Rutgers kind of showed a little interest in when he got out of his LOI from Duke last year.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he's returning to Indiana. So that one is pretty, cut and dry. Like, I don't know why I couldn't.
He's very high on Woodson, apparently, I'm told. So it makes sense, why he's there. Number two, why he's staying, because I guess there was some speculation he was going to enter for the sole fact that Woodson was, his seat's got to be insanely hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like they're going to keep him. So it's either win next year or you're probably out. And you're basically just like every other NBA guy that's struggled mightily.
Yep. Yep. The last name I wanted to hit on is also a former New Jersey prospect, former top 50 player in the state of New Jersey. It's Mark Armstrong, who is rumored to be entering the portal in the near future. Yep. This is a guy who played with Ace and Dylan on Team USA this summer, led Team USA in scoring in the under-19 tournament in Turkey. Obviously, from just saying that, he obviously would know Ace and Dylan. I'm sure he's known Dylan a lot longer, both being New Jersey kids. This is a guy who athletically would fit perfectly. He's basically like a Lamborghini version of Derek Simpson, where he's a better finisher at the rim, but he's not a great outside shooter, but he's also a really high-level defender. Are you hearing anything on Mark Armstrong? And because Rutgers did recruit him out of high school, and Rutgers was in his top group in high school. So what are you hearing on Mark Armstrong?
I think his top group was like Rutgers. It was all local schools. Rutgers, Villanova, Seton Hall. There's someone else too. But regardless, it sounds like Seton Hall is going to make an all-out push for him there. And based on the fact that Kadari Richmond's probably going to enter the portal, they have a good shot of just basically guaranteeing him a starter role almost. They like those small guards too. They always rock with them. He's a little bit taller than I think the other guard they have in Davis. But they're both very similar size, but they're probably going to run a small backcourt next year. And I think he ends up going there. He's a local kid, like you said. It just makes a lot of sense there. But talk about a big – has there been a bigger fall from grace than Villanova?
Well, it turns out when you lose a Hall of Fame coach and replace him with a guy who isn't quite at the same level, you're going to have a pretty steep drop-off.
He is a South Orange native, by the way, which is essentially right there.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I mean, additionally, Villanova, if you think about where they saw a lot of success, they were a developmental program too. Like, they were bringing guys in, and by their third, fourth, fifth year, they were major contributors. Think of, Jalen Brunson. He was like a five-star kid out of high school. He didn't really break out until his junior year. Mikhail Bridges, same way. He was used a little bit as a redshirt freshman, but by the time he was a redshirt junior, he was, best player on the team. Ryan Diarcano, he was a 4 or 5 year player there. Yeah, Josh Hart, all those guys were making big contributions as upperclassmen. So I think that is just really hard to do in today's day and age, as we're finding out as Rutgers fans. So,
and I think that's kind of the program Rutgers should almost strive to be. Get a five-star here and there, like a Brunson type or like a Harper type. Try to develop them as much as you can, but it's tough now too, because I guess guys just don't stay put anywhere. Yeah. So,
well, the thing is, the guys who do stay put are the guys ranked from 20 to 50, they'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get the, second and third ranked players in the country, wherever they're going to go be a one and done. That's not really something you can avoid, but every team in the country would take that 1 year from that player in a heartbeat. So let's not, these are champagne problems we're talking about.
Yeah. It driving me nuts that people are taking, speaking of Jay Wright, taking his comments out of context a little bit. He said basically you need veterans. He goes, I'm not blaming Calipari. It's not his fault, but their players just weren't as disciplined at Oakland. And I'm like, all right, we're not going to blame the coach for that. I think even Rutgers with a younger lineup, and they're not just young, don't get me wrong, Jeremiah Williams is still there. Griffiths is year two. Jermichael Davis is year two. They're going to get a big man that's a veteran. They're going to get four that's a veteran. There's going to have veterans on this team, but they'll be fine. Let's relax. It's not comparable to this Kentucky team who Calipari hasn't done much over the past 3 years. He lost to a 15 seed in St. Peter's, lost to Oakland, who's a, what, 12, 13, 14, whatever they were, and then lost to someone else the year before that. It was on Yahoo this morning. They lost to like three. He hasn't made it past the round of 32. He's just not a good coach. Yeah. He's had so much talent.
So Calipari has not made it past the round of – he hasn't made it out of the first weekend since the 2018-2019 season. He hasn't made a Final Four in a decade.
Was like, the Carl season?
The last Final Four he made was the year that they went undefeated and lost in the Final Four to – was it Wisconsin they lost to that year?
I believe so. He's just not a good coach. Like, he just gets talented players and just – goes around them, builds around them, I guess. I don't know. I'm just not sold on them. But regardless, it's just don't compare the two. Like,
yeah, I agree. Calipari's just—he's able to get these guys on campus, and you know, he gets all the hype for, you know, he has a good eye for talent for sure. Like, a lot of his players end up in the NBA for a long time and get big contracts, and he recruits players to get paid. You know, if you're the seventh ranked player in the country, you know, how much development can you credit to Calipari? Like, you probably go almost anywhere and get roughly the same draft stock the following year. So I don't know. I think he's definitely overrated as a coach. And I think his, as a recruiter, he's fallen off as well. Like, there was a stretch for, I believe, 7 years where he had landed multiple top 10 prospects every year except one. In the last 7 seasons since, he's only landed one class with 2 top 10 players, which was this past year, which was Ahmad Bradshaw and DJ Wagner, and they lost in the first round to a 14 seed. So I think Kentucky is probably looking for ways to move on from Calipari at this point. But,
yeah, not with that $36 million buyout, whatever it is.
He's got a lifetime contract, so you'd have to get transitioned into some kind of advisory role. Because they're kind of stuck with them. But,
well, whatever.
All right. That's kind of the rundown I had. We hit everything I wanted to talk about, except for one thing. Thoughts and prayers go out to Ryan Saldano. Really scary incident yesterday at the NCAA tournament, or the NCAA wrestling tournament, I should say. He looked like he was going to get a win in a first-round matchup. He looked like he was about to get a takedown, but he landed awkwardly on his back and got pinned, and he was down on the mat for 10 to 15 minutes, laying basically motionless. He was stretchered off the mat, taken to a local hospital in St. Louis. Thankfully, it sounds like he's all right. From what the update was last night, he had a spinal contusion, and he had a concussion. So it sounds like he's out of the woods a bit, but he's still obviously going to need some recovery time this offseason, but really scary incident for those who were watching. I was, having flashbacks to when I was in Giant Stadium in 2010 with that one. But.
Yeah. One last thing I want to say, because I was going to say that too, but you got it from me. UConn coming to town this weekend. I shouldn't say this weekend, starts today, actually.
Yep.
4 p.m. today, UConn baseball will come to town. They are probably the premier baseball program over the past decade in the Northeast.
Yep.
So they're coming to town for a 3-game series against Rutgers. This is big for Rutgers. If they can sneak 2, huge. If they can sneak 1, still probably pretty good for their RPI.
Yep.
So 4 p.m. today, 2 p.m. Saturday, and then I think Sunday is at 1. So 3 games in a row, we'll see how Rutgers does. As always, Hector's on a going nuts on our message boards, posting like pitch by pitch posts. He keeps you updated if you can't watch. I think the first game's on BTM Plus. They're all on BTM Plus, actually. So if you don't have that and you don't want to check out that, check out the message board thread. It's filled with all kinds of random stuff. And then last but not least, baby, Tuesday, it starts. Football's back. March Madness who? no, but in all seriousness, it is this Tuesday. Tuesday will be football practice, and it's going to be 3 times a week. Probably still not going to be able to say anything. So that sucks. But we get to talk to all the assistant coaches in the spring, which is always nice. I think it starts out with Shiraka. It always is going to start out with Schrock because he's not going to tip his hand on the quarterback stuff. So they just make him talk first, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you got to try.
Just a guess.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's going to say some very good things about Ethan. He's going to say some very good things about Gavin. He's going to say some very good things about AJ. He's going to say some very good things about Ajani. He's probably going to name Colin O'Sullivan just for shits and giggles. no offense to Colin. He's a great guy and everything, but like, he's the walk. It's just, yep. You're the new Gavin Rupp, buddy. Yep. Get ready. But yeah, very excited for that. Also pro days next week. I don't think Max Melton's going to participate in anything, which I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't either. Yeah, stand on those combine. Numbers. Yep.
Yeah. Don't even try to change him, but I expect a lot of NFL scouts to be there just to talk to him, to talk to other guys. Sneakily, I think Deion Jennings is going to find a spot in a rookie minicamp at the very least, if not an undrafted
reach. I agree.
I think he has a really good shot. I don't know who else is going to be there. I'm trying to think of who else was a senior. They've returned like the whole team.
Maianahatu.
Right? Ooh, forget about him. Isaiah Ayton, maybe. Mm-hmm. Someone might just draft him based off the fact that he's huge and massive. But,
yeah. Yep.
Not realistically, but he'll probably get a rookie minicamp invite, I had to guess. But yeah, so we'll find out more. If you guys have anyone that you want us to specifically interview player-wise, can't guarantee it, but if you throw them in the comments below, I'll try my best to get those interviews out. Some kids, like you guys, will request, and some of them just don't talk. And some of them are just chop.
Yep. So yeah, they are very well media trained, and they
very
almost never will say anything. I wouldn't say that isn't interesting, but that, you know, they know the wrath that will come down upon them if they say anything that becomes a news item from Shiano. So don't expect anything too crazy from these interviews. But
also, starting Sunday, I meant to mention this. I keep forgetting stuff. Starting Sunday, I'm going to throw a promo out there. If you're not on the night report, I'm going to throw a big one for spring ball. Starting this Sunday, use the promo code RUSPRING24, all one word. Get 50% off.
Damn.
So $49 for the year, and you get all the scoop between transfer portal, between spring ball. You get the whole season, the whole off season. There's going to be another transfer portal after spring ball. So it's just a nonstop cycle of like, dude, I need a break. Like,
yep.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't believe spring ball is already right on the edge of happening here. Portal season is in full spin. Stay tuned to your podcast feed, to the boards, because I guarantee this is going to be crazy news coming. I just can't tell you what it is because it hasn't happened yet. But we will have it covered whenever it does. Thanks for listening once again. Thanks to everyone who's rated and reviewed. If you haven't already, take some time out. Take 30 seconds. Do that. Huge for people discovering the pod and for us in general. But for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the podcast. So.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.